Okay, so we've done a lot of really groundwork to get to this point, which is the final nispach, an entire, you know, month, basically, of learning about the Ger Toshav and his special mamad in halacha, his connection to Nevela, his connection to Kal Yisrael, Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, and the words of the Ramban also ringing along the lines of that Me'iri in the context of Lo Sazgir Eved Al Adonav, that he wants to be Oved Hashem Itanu, and the special connections between that and Eretz Yisrael. The Kabbalah Sger Toshav, Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim, the Psak of the Rambam, the integration of Ger Tzedek and Ger Toshav, Yambod B'Sarasa V'lo Yosef V'lo Yigareya, our approach to the Rambam in terms of Yovel, contra the Kesef Mishnah, as well as the Ravid. And now we've approached sort of the issue that the Ramban raises, based on the Psukim as a potential Din Prati, the question of ribis. So we did the background work yesterday in terms of Shitas HaRamban. Once the Ramban understands, put together the Shichachas HaEsin with his Perish Al HaTorah, what we have is very clear, V'chazak debo ger v'toshav v'chayimach, that we equate a ger toshav to a Yisrael Ani, to the ger tzedek, for all purposes of pikuach nefesh. And indeed, as the Ramban notes, is entitled to a full treatment, v'chei achicha imach, and that would certainly extend, as the psukim talk about, al tikach meito neshech v'sarbis, v'yareisa melokecha v'chei achicha imach. Notably, this is in the Shichachas HaEsin, so we'd have to wonder what the shita of the Rambam would be. The shita of the Ramban would not really be in question. We thought perhaps the best way of getting at the shita of the Ramban would be to look at two parallel sugyos, parallel very much in the eyes of the Ramban himself. And those two sugyos, avi, are certainly ribis, and in addition to that, the question of hagasa of debt collection. And we noted that Lashitas HaRamban, these sugyos aligned entirely, as well as for the Rambam. The Rambam understood, as we'll get into the Shita of the Rambam today, Lanachri Tigos, Lanachri Tashich, et Mitzvos Asei. The Ramban, in contrast, understood both of those psukim as, Avi, go ahead, not separate Mitzvos Asei, but rather, right, Lav Haba Michlal Asei, Asei. In other words, strengthening and adding a dimension of character, both of those things, I'll repeat it, strengthening, adding a dimension of character to the losa say, lo yigos esre'ehu ve'es achiv, ki kara shmita l'Hashem, in the context of Hagasa, and al tikach meito neshech v'tarbis, in the connection of ribis. Now I say adding both strength and character, what's the nature we spoke about yesterday for the Ramban of that lav haba michal asay, Noam? How does that give us insight into the Ramban's perspective? It's not just intrinsically wrong to commit an act of Hagasa, in other words, v'zeh dvar hashmita, Levi's point is ringing, right? This is the way that we treat members of Klal Yisrael. It's the essential point.
It's also wrong to not do it to
non-Jew. Okay, maybe, but it seems like it's less an issue, though the question of matnas chinam is a relevant question. Though I think Shimi offered a pretty strong rejoinder to that, or it's after the fact, it's sort of like an act of Rachmanis. It wasn't supposed to be a matnas chinam. It was just, you know, the man didn't have. But I would put it in slightly inverted terms, Rami.
That we have an obligation to treat the Jew and the non-Jew differently.
Right. So you're looking to create a distinction there, and again, just to sharpen it, Rami, if I could just push you a little bit here. Not just in different ways, but lo yigos esreyo v'esachiv ki kara shmita Hashem is intrinsically wrong to do, right? And then es hanachri tigos lav haba michal asay, that the mechayiv of that asay, lav haba michal asay equals an asay for the Ramban is what, that you're treating esreyehu v'esachiv. Doesn't really care what you do so much with a non-Jew. That's a matter of discretion, but you're treating. You're treating the Jew as an achri. You're treating him as a foreigner. And really, despite the fact that the Ramban is the one who says, and this, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, you know, the haflaga of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, but in specific terms, lo yigos esreihu v'esachiv, ki kara shmita l'Hashem es hanachri tigos. So that strengthens it, right? It adds a charge, but also adds character to it. Vayisnaker alehem, vayidaber itam kashos. Yosef was deliberately denying the achva, right? He had his own plan, specifically according to the Ramban, right? For the chalomos. I don't like that. I like the Ramban's question. I don't like his answer. I don't know that it's worth it to cause tzar to one's father to fulfill a dream, but anyway, afarani tachas raglav. But the Ramban's point here is that treating re'ehu ve'es achiv like a nachri, like somebody that you don't have an intrinsic bond towards, is completely unacceptable. So it adds an additional mechayiv. It's not just an additional charge, but it adds character to the problem of hagasa of a Jew who's simply impoverished and is incapable of repaying his debts, right? And, you know, this is a terrible situation for a person to be in. Now, the Ramban, as we noted yesterday, is a little bit mafriz al midosav in the context of this essay. In which particular context? The Ramban perhaps overstep his bounds. Ilan, go ahead. Right, and the trouble with that is that Rashi actually says which three words? Exactly, and we can prove that because we can isolate the variables. That's why this sugya is so clear to us. And on the one hand, we have Hagas. On the other hand, we have Ribis. And when it comes to Es Hanachri Tigos, the words of Rashi actually are... Yeah, right. And that's not what he says in the context of Ribis. And that led us to a very important conversation about reasons to be mechalek, potentially in either direction. Rashi seems to have a middle shita, which was, from the Ramban's point of view, obviously completely inconceivable. The Ramban knew how to read Rashi just as well as we did. He made a living doing that. Right? Every Perish or Ramban ala Torah, you know, Zo Perish HaKuntris. So he interpreted Zo Mitzvah Asei to mean the Lav Haba Michal Asei Asei, but this is very hard to believe. That's not what Rashi says, and we'll see that Rashi isn't alone in the middle ground. So yesterday we raised two different ways of being mechalek exactly in Rashi's direction. So Levi, you want to just recapitulate what you had introduced yesterday?
So what I said is when it comes to the institution of Achva, you know, there's only one institution of Achva, and that's Shemitah, and that's about Hagasa, and it's not about... It's not about
Ribbis. Right, so Ribbis is a personal matter, right? Between you and either a fellow Jew, why not, or a non-Jew. And to that extent, you know, like we have a broad principle in Halacha Tanai Shiva Mamun Kayim. A person is allowed to, you know, make certain concessions when it comes to, you know, their assets. So, you know, a person chooses not to charge the Nachri Ribbis, right? So he may have various motivations for that. Remember early on in the sugya of, you know, Ger Toshav, we talked about Nachri HaMakiro. That's not really Matnas Chinam, because who knows? There's a quid pro quo. But when it comes to Shemitah, that's a national institution. Ein Lecha national institution, Gedola Mizo. Right? That's the entire nature of Shemitah, is Davar HaMasr LeBezdin, etc. So that's a very important perspective. Okay, and what was, did anybody remember the direction that Ilan and I were going in? Is a little bit of a different one. Go ahead, Levi. Right. Now, and again, in real financial terms, it's a questionable svara, right? Because, you know, the way that markets are actually structured, you know, some people really do make their parnasa doing this, many people. So, you know, say that the Ravacha might not actually, in real terms, capture what's going on, but in principle, in the abstract, I think it certainly does. And it's what I referred to yesterday as Efes ki lo yebecha evyon, that a person isn't allowed to commit acts of financial suicide or nihilism, not to collect your debts, you know, unless the Torah specifically mandated that you not collect a debt, right? Shamod kol ba'al mashe yado. Is very different than saying I'm not going to look to make profit with this capital, which normally I would be able to make profit with. I could invest it in the company, etc. So Pseida de Ravacha versus Pseida de Karna. The Ramban apparently completely looked past either of these distinctions, and he wanted to suggest that the sugyos align perfectly. On the one hand, Es Hanachri Tigos, Lava Bamichal Asei, l'nachritashich lav haba michlal asay. We, at the very end yesterday, we kind of got cut off on this point, we had suggested a possible chiluk in the other direction. Again, we don't have a shita in the Rishonim that suggests this, but if you were going to be mechalik in the opposite direction and say, as anachri tigos, right, that's perhaps lav haba michlal asay, but l'nachri tashich zo mitzvah asay, what might you say? We were just coming up to this point at the very end yesterday. How would you justify that? And Sian, go ahead. Exactly. It's the most natural thing in the world. The fact that the Torah denies, you know, ribbis in the context of fraternal loans is, you know, the ultimate, you know, statement of Achva. It's a profound statement of Achva. Right, about how deeply invested we are in one another, that we would forfeit the most natural means of gain. Right? What could be more valuable as an asset than capital? Liquidity is opportunity incarnate. Right? The entire system of halacha and Dine Mamanos, right, is predicated on the idea that people who don't have liquid assets available can actually be defined, some of us have been talking about this in the Rambam Chabura, as aniyim. If all of your money is tied up, that can render you an ani. Having capital that's pluripotential, that's undifferentiated, you can use it for whatever you want to, is an enormous asset, right? The Pseida de Lukuchos, the whole idea in halacha of shibudim, of people not having liquidity, and therefore the lukuchos having exposure. Right? Those of us who are learning Rosh Hashanah right now. Shtarei chov hamukdam and psulin, that's all predicated on the idea that when a person has capital, it's of enormous value. So to simply give that away, just to give it away. You know, on the flip side, there's a reason the Rambam defined that as the highest level, the mitzvah of tzedakah. When we're kids, they tell us that it's just to give somebody a job. But if you actually read the Rambam, it's to give them a halva. Do you know what a big deal it is to give somebody an interest-free loan? It's an ultimate act of chesed. It's the ultimate act of tzedakah that the Rambam defines. It's on the highest mala of tzedakah. So you might say, the pure logic of it demands that we don't just give away. If my whole idea about Hagasa was, you know, financial nihilism, so how does that not apply to Ribbis? So you could, I think, try to swing it in the opposite direction, but we find the Chilukim and the Rishonim to be in the former. Kivu. Yes, Levi.
Are you sure? I'm no anthropologist.
Nor am I.
Yeah, but capitalism is like 500 years old. Are you sure 3,000 years ago, if you had extra cash lying around, or more likely credit, if you had like credit with, you know, the people of your town, or cash, or gold, are you sure like you had use for that outside? Like if you weren't like incredibly, if you didn't have incredible ingenuity, like nowadays, like you and I have extra cash, we don't like develop a business model. We just like, you know, we just like click some buttons on a computer, you call up like Fidelity or whatever. You know, and they give it to some corporation that, like, is your fiduciary. Back then, none of that existed. So you didn't really have any, I mean, to my knowledge, you didn't have any use for it, except for, like, in case of an emergency. You want to buy a really, really cool, tricked-out donkey. or if you have, like, extreme ingenuity. But, like, if you don't, then, you know, what's so bad about lending it out without interest?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think even if you go to, let's talk about the, you know, transactions as they appear in Sefer Bereishis. Right, Avraham Avinu, Yaakov, Shechem, right? The idea of having capital, right, can be translated into, you know, very significant assets, and so to simply give it away, well, it's an enormous loss.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not talking about Hagasa. I'm talking about
we're talking about.
You still get it back. You mean you give it away temporarily in case you wanted to buy something during that
time? How about the opportunity cost?
Yeah, but let's say you didn't have anything that you could need to
buy. There's always something. That's the thing. That's the very nature of the market, is that there's always opportunity. That's always been true.
Opportunity for what? Opportunity to buy something, to use it, offer opportunity to buy something to make capital gains. Because if you're talking about capital gains, I'm saying, like, did those really exist?
But in some sense, I think you're setting the bar in an artificial place. Why should I set the bar at capital gains? The bottom line is I can do whatever I want with my money. So the fact that I'm giving it to you means that I should be compensated for that. That's what I keep on harping on. It's the pluripotential nature of the asset. Okay. So that's the Ramban. And again, I want to emphasize the basic svara of Tnai Shebamamon Kayam, right, is that a person generally has much more discretion with respect to their own assets than they do with respect to Isurim. That's the whole idea of Tnai Shebamamon Kayam. The Torah afforded you certain baseline protections that you can waive, typically. But what I'm suggesting is that there's an outer boundary to that. You're not allowed to impoverish yourself. Lo ye becha evyon. And I think that should animate this discussion in both directions, Hagasa and Ribbis. Okay, so let's take a look now at Shitas HaRambam. The Ramban and Ger Toshav, I think, is well established. You put together everything. The Shechas HaSin, the Perish HaLa Torah, both Shechas HaSin, Tessayin and Yudzayin. So now we get into the Rambam. Okay, so Sefer Mitzos, this is Kuf Mem Aleph. Leave? You want to do the honors? Kisha Tzivanu. Do you need an... Let me send this to leave. In the meantime, anybody want to... Okay, Yehuda, you have it open. We'll come back to you for the next one, okay? Kuf Mem Aleph. He should see Vanu Lahashmi Ksafim.
Do you want me to read or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. He should see Vanu Lahashmi Ksafim.
Yeah, the Trey Kali Lomishtami. Leave picked it up, sorry. Yeah, you'll pick up Kuf Mem Beis. No, I mean, there really is, it's Agav Chavivuse. I think that if it's true of Kriyas HaMegillah, it's definitely true of a Rambam. So we could have both of you read it at once, but, you know, just... So please don't draw any conclusions from the fact that I'm just saying. We'll, it's only because there are two Rambams that we could split up that we're doing it this way. Okay. Tashmet Yadecha. Shmita Sakasa Medaber. So again, getting back to our diyuk from yesterday, v'zeh devar hashmitah, right? The Rambam already in the Sefer Mitzvos, he didn't need to include this particular detail, though I'm not surprised that he did, right? Talks about the scope of shmitas ksafim far exceeding the scope of shmitas karkaos. V'zeh devar hashmitah, this is true everywhere. So on the one hand, it's contingent on shmitas karkaos to be activated, but once shmitas karkaos is activated, it's true on the moon. V'zeh devar hashmitah. Okay, so that's Kuf Mem Aleph. Now Yehuda to you for Kuf Mem Beis.
He's Divino Lingosh Ha'ovei Kochav Mazelos.
Lingos, Hagasa, Lingos.
Lingos Ha'ovei Kochav Mazelos. La'achricho Lifroa Chovo Kamoshin It's Divino Lachmol Al Yisrael V'hizhirtianu Milingos Oto V'hu Omer Yisbarach Es Ha'nachri Tigos Lashem Stifrei.
Okay, so you put the emphasis on the right place. You even spelled it out for us that it's an Ovid Kol Chavim Lazalos. That's clearly a very important line in the Rambam. ulahachricho lifroa chovo. What's the meaning of that? Lahachricho lifroa chovo. Yehuda, what would you say that means?
Yes, I wasn't totally clear, but it was my intention, it was my understanding that the Rambam basically meant that we're obligated to be pressing him for the loan, and we have to do it with collateral.
To compel him to pay the loan. Now, again, what the possible outer boundaries of this are, the Rambam is not going to get into the Sefer HaMitzvos, but you're talking about an aggressive posture. Lingo sovid kochav mazalos lahachricho lifroa chovo. And the reason I emphasize that is by contrast, because what is the Rambam trying to set up here? Yeah, what term does the Rambam use? What's that? Yeah, right. Okay, kimoshin itzdavinu lachmol al Yisrael. So the Rambam is setting up he's setting up a contrast between chemla vatachmola vatomer miyalde avrim zeh, right? That she was moved. She's moved to commit this act of genuine chesed to save this infant from drowning. Chemla is a very powerful word. It's a particularly powerful word. Ve'od ne'ayen bazamachar, kemoshen istavinu lachmol al Yisrael. So what the Rambam is really saying, right, equal and opposite, is that chemlas Yisrael is matched by hagasas ha'akum. That hagasa is not a pleasant process. The etymology of the term noges is what? Nogsim. Right, hanogsim atzim lemor kalum asechem. What does it mean? Yeah, it's people who are applying pressure, all kinds of pressure. So just as chemla is to act out of a sense of empathy, right? This doesn't seem like a technical halacha, just a collection of debts, but for the Rambam, it takes on an edge to it. We'll have a diuk in Malva Velova that'll be indisputable, but you can already see it if you're a careful reader of the Sefer HaMitzvos. Shetzivanu lingos ha'akum lachricho lifro achovo. Pressure. Kemoshen itzavinu lachmol Yisrael. Equal and opposite. Vihisirtanu, we've been prohibited in Milingososo. So for the Rambam, that mitzvah sase quality is not just that we're going to, okay, you gotta pay up, but it really serves to highlight an attitudinal difference. Completely consistent with everything that the Rambam ever says about Avodah Zarah. I would almost say that it brings to mind the Isser. Well, you tell me, which aspect of lo sechonim do you think that this implicates? The obvious low-hanging fruit is the matnas chinam, even though I think Shimi already laid the rejoinder to that. But exactly. It's the chen piece of it. Right? There's kind of an adversarial quality to this. Lingos ha'akum, lachricho lifro achovo. Malve velove aleph, aleph beis. Shimi?
I'm wondering how much this halacha would go with Darche Shalom.
Yeah, well, remember, that's a great question for the Rambam in particular, because there's a difference between the Hilchos Melachim Darche Shalom and the Hilchos Matnos Aniyim Darche Shalom and the Hilchos Avodah Zarah Darche Shalom, right? Because sometimes Darche Shalom is really, this is, you know, X is what we should be doing, but why? Because there's going to be a pogrom, right? So you have to be careful, right? When anytime a Jew is in a minority in a society, and then there's the Tova Shamakol V'Racham Aval Kol Ma'asav, Darche Shalom, Duracha Darche Noam V'Chol Nesivo Sa'a Shalom, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Merachim on everybody. So it's a really good question for the Rambam. It's a really good question, and it almost depends where you're looking. You come to very different conclusions. Shimi, that was outstanding. Okay, so Malva Velova. Megaglin's Chosal Yisdei Zakai. Shimi, take it away. Shimi's like a Ger Toshev specialist.
Yisrael
This is my life dream. My life dream is to organize the Jewish community in such a way that people don't have to go around schnurring. It's a terrible thing that a person should have to. I don't just mean in terms of chas v'shalom that there's fraud, you know, and you have these two dot, but that a person should have to spend a day knocking on people's doors, telling their story over. It's so offensive to anybody who has a sense of basic sense of dignity. Sometimes there's no choice other than to be maser l'psachim. But if we could be organized about these things and preempt them, right? I would say chayavin lizar b'mitzvos asei shel tzedakah yoser mikol mitzvos asei shabbatorah. Zihiros means that the entire way that we approach the mitzvah should be done mitchila v'ad sof. It's a tremendous need. It's an enormous deficiency right now that exists everywhere in terms of the problems of verification. But if there would be a proactive way to verify, and that's what the Rambam is saying, it's gedola min hatzdaka la'ani ha'shoel, shezeh kvar nitzrach lishol. You can see the Rambam saying it's achen vei, and it is. V'zeh adayin lo higia l'mida zo. It'd be so much better. It's a failure of identification. Most people, Baruch Hashem, don't have the experience of having to do that. But if a person would have to do that for an hour, I don't mean if they were going on a trip, so they're selling their Girl Scout cookies, but really in desperation, trying to, and having doors slammed in their face and having people ignored, the whole system is so contrary to what chemla should be about. So anyway, ruyin hadvarim lemishamaram, so the Rambam says, don't think it's a rishus, it's a mitzvah, and it's a far superior mitzvah than a society which is reactive in terms of tzedakah. The Torah hikpida. It's a source of an ayin ra. That's a term that we associate with Bilam, not with Zerah Avraham Ohavi. So for the Rambam, the addition of the term that Shimi correctly emphasized is dispositive. It's chemla or tsar. Mitzvahs ase lingos es ha'akum. This isn't chayin. Ula hatserlo shenemar lanochri tigos. The term hagasa implies an adversarial stance. Mipiashmu alam du shezo mitzvahs ase. It's hard because rachmanim baishanim emgom lechasadim, but we just can't be mirachim when it comes to avodah zara. It's a stance against Avodah Zarah. So from the standpoint of the emotional spectrum that's involved on both sides of this mitzvah, lo yigos es reyo ves achiv, ki kara shmita la Hashem, es hanachri tigos, is really min akatsa ved akatsa. For a person to commit an act of hagasa against a Jew is a grave sin. What does the Rambam say? HaTorah hikpida. The Torah was deeply, deeply concerned about any kind of behavior as such. And for the Nachri, it's not even a Rishos. It's a Tzivui. And again, the impression that you get from the Rambam, in this case, is that it's not so much driven by the concerns that I was articulating about financial nihilism, but it's part of, as we've seen over the last month, this implacable stand against the Avodah Zarah. Okay. Magid Mishnahs. Jimmy, let's keep on. You're going to run the table with this.
Magid Mishnah. This is for a parsha.
Yeah, not referring to the 21st century Achronim. Okay. The Chavar of the Ran. So the Magid Mishnah goes over to the dark side. They're unbound. Guys, we're the only ones standing in the breach for the Rambam lately. Kesef Mishnah did it to him just a few days ago. We haven't forgotten that one either. It's a little bit worse to surrender the Rambam to the Raiva than it is to the Ramban, but we'll do no such thing. The truth of the matter is that for the Ramban, Ud'ime, the very idea of making it optional means that you're already in a different world than the Rambam. Like, you wouldn't say, in the following scenario, the Shitas HaRamban, you wouldn't say that, so I chose to collect this time from the Nachri. I insisted on him paying me. You wouldn't say that, in that sense, you went with the Rambam Shita as well. Why am I saying that? Ben Sion?
That doesn't sound like it's an adversarial stance.
Exactly. If it's a matter of choice, like I just decided to. This time I decided to collect. Next time, who knows, maybe I'll decide to let him off the hook. That's not what the Rambam thinks the mitzvah is. The totsah, I don't even think, is really the point of emphasis in the Rambam. It's latserlo. It's that it's not even, you can't even contemplate letting him off the hook. It's a different, the result might be the same, but a different world. Okay. Shimmy, outstanding. Ben Sion, take it away now. Back to Ribbis. Right, so you would forgive somebody if they insisted that the Torah was like trying to be very clear on this point. Right? When it comes to the Issa Ribbis, Beinenu Levein Atzmeinu, Ksaseinu Ksaseinu, the Torah did not leave a lot of room for ambiguity. This isn't, Poreach Ba'aver, this isn't Harin Hatulian B'Sa'ara, to quote the Mishnah Chagi. This is spelled out, do not pass go, do not collect $200, certainly not in Ribbis. The Torah is making it absolutely clear, Kol Davar Asher Yishal.
Okay.
And I would add, Michlal Hain Ata Shomei Alav. The implication is that if you're going to pay fast and loose with this, you're going to be in deep trouble. L'mani Recha Shem Lekecha B'chol Mishlach Yadecha Al Haaretz Asher Atava Shama Lerishta. And again, the Torah needs to emphasize that because it's a big sacrifice. It's the ultimate financial sacrifice from a certain standpoint. So Rashi says, Lo Sashich, this is just a super stigmatized act from every direction. Yeah. So again, total, you have the malve, you have the lova, and then you have the lav haba michala say. So this is where Rashi was clearly michalik. Let him just say, zo mitzvah saseh, but he doesn't. Or in the other direction, in the case of esanachri tigos, he could have said, lav haba michala say. I think it's beyond a doubt that the Ramban overreached for Shitas Rashi. Okay. So here, fascinating, right? The position of Rashi is that when it comes to Ribbis, right, that's where you would have the flexibility. Not with respect to Achicha, but with respect to the Nachri. Presumably, according to Rashi, it would be discretionary. So let's see the Ramban.
Lo Sashech Lach.
gamzu mitzvah mu ares yosef etanas hara gam lova masha ink in the whole din in mamonos shem rata hu was of ben chasa rasha about the favorite gula.
So he's basically saying, you know, tonight shem mamon kaim. The Ramban above a Basra explains it exactly that way, that the Torah gave you a baseline, but mamon is mamon. It's actually sort of a testament to people's bailus that they can be mochel. If you want to be financially, again, to a point, you know, if you want to be, you know, lazuk bin achasav, use the term nezikin, you're permitted to do it. You can't be chovel begufo, you can't be chovel beacherim, you're not allowed to be mazik mamon acherim, but lazuk bin achasav, rasha. Aval, okay, so let's pause here for a second, because this line is so rich with significance, and if we're reading it carefully, we should pick up on an echo of an earlier line in the Ramban. Ilan? In the Shechas HaEsin, right? What did he say? That the Havamina, to say that it's really not part of the broader rubric of Eheshev Esagzela Shergazal is, you agreed to it. Exactly right. Rishimi, you pointed out yesterday, right, that the Havamina stands both in terms of a separate Minin HaMitzvos, and now we're seeing an even greater expression. Right? Nobody's going to say that, you know, okay, well, you know, the Nigzal is, you know, equivalent to somebody who accepted a loan on interest. It's a financial transaction. The only possible justification for saying it's aser is mitzad ha'achva v'hachesed. It even transcends the normal boundaries of achva, to be honest. That's an astounding line. Particularly the Shita Saramban. That'll be our Shir Preda tomorrow. The Ramban, just I'll state it very briefly now, we'll expand on it tomorrow. The Ramban considers a haftal reacha kamocha, in a word, a haflaga. It's not really achievable. Lo yikabel alev ha'adam, he says. And it's a question as to whether how much we should even try, trying to choose my words very carefully, because, right, there is the notion of chayecha kodmin l'chayei chavercha. So this is basically acting entirely selflessly. Achva v'chesed. V'yahavta l'reyocha kamocha. Uchemosh amar. Now here's the pivot back to Hagasa. It has to say that here in this pasuk. So, you know, for all the differences, and the differences are definitely the most important thing, what is important to note is that on the tzad of Yisrael, I think it's fair to say that the Rambam and the Ramban were really in sync. It's mitzad ha'achva, it's mitzad ha'chesed, it's mitzad ha'chemla, it's a profound act of kindness. The Ramban says, you know, you don't get a cookie. The Torah doesn't say, l'man yirecha Hashem elokecha, you know, for not oppressing people. But when you commit acts of profound fraternity, kindness, generosity, right, ulachot yetzdakah, the Torah realizes that you're going above and beyond. Mitzad ha'achva ve'chesed. In our family, we have a very important story in this regard. It's chus for me to be masked b'fnei am ve'eda to just to demonstrate that it really is mitzad ha'achva. So my grandfather Zichron Levracha had a brother with whom he survived the war. We called him Uncle Bob. Bob Zichron Levracha. I've mentioned him in the past. I mentioned him when we were talking about Rav Lichtenstein. That they used to go to the shiurim together. They lived in, Uncle Bob and Lichtenstein lived in the same building, 114 George Hill. So in 1969, my grandfather had a massive, massive, massive heart attack. And as my father likes to say, that in those they've made enormous advances in terms of heart disease. It doesn't mean that it's still not a very, very serious and lethal killer. But that's the way that my father would always tell the story. That's the way Jewish men died. You know, that's how people. And it was a very precarious situation. It was long before people, could get certain protections in terms of employment. And the family was just, facing a crisis. A total crisis. Thank God my grandfather survived. It would take him months to recover to be able to get back to work. And Uncle Bob gave a $500 interest-free loan, obviously interest in his brother. And ad hayom hazeh, whenever I see my second cousins, which is relatively rarely, but we just had an azkara for Uncle Bob. So both my father and I independently, we didn't compare notes before, and we told this story. Mitzada achva ve'achased, it saved our branch of the family. I mean, again, I'm not saying Uncle Bob debated it. They survived the war together. They were on death marches together. They had saved each other's lives many times before that. They weren't going to stop now. But it was an expression of incredible fraternity. $500 for them was an enormous sum of money. I don't even know what it is in real terms, but it'd be a significant amount of money today. But especially for them, they were immigrants, they were survivors. They had very, 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 very little. And it really saved our family. It saved the house. It allowed my grandfather to recover, get back to real health before going back to work. It's the ultimate expression of achva and chesed to do something like this for a person. It's beyond description. In a certain context, it really is hatzalas nefashos. The Rambam wasn't exaggerating when he said it's the highest madrega of tzedakah. That's why the Ramban says it approaches the haflaga of ahavta reyacha kamocha. Now, I think the Rambam and the Ramban are really in sync on this point. In other words, what the mechayiv is within the fraternity. Outside of the fraternity is really where you have a mina katze ve'ada katze distinction, which also came up for us. And we'll go over to Ben Sion. There was when I was a rabbinic intern on the west side, other jobs there too. So there was a place where I used to get coffee virtually every morning, not Starbucks. I had to pass like six Starbucks on the way to shul, but I didn't go to any of them. I was an intern. You think I had $4 for a cup of coffee? So, David, it's not there anymore, but it was on the corner of 90th and Amsterdam, Bagel Basket.
I know where that is. I remember that. It used to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's been gone for a long time now. So I've been gone from the west side a long time. So they announced Mamish overnight on the Thursday night that they were going out of business by Shabbos. And the neighborhood, Yair, Upper West Side, Navocha. So there was a guy, he's such a good man. He was, Min Ha'umos HaGeduros Pedas. Who worked, he's an employee, he's going to be out of a job. And I used to, every single morning, I used to talk to him on my way to, And I couldn't. And so again, I felt like to do something for him. He's got to find a new job, and clearly they didn't give him 2 weeks' notice because everybody was surprised. Nobody was more surprised than he was. So I had to ask a shaila on this question of giving an interest-free loan to this individual because, you know, he needed some time to find a job. He had, you know, you talk to somebody every single morning, there's a relationship there. So that Erev Shabbos called up Rosenzweig, discussed the issue, Rambam and Ramban. Not going to tell you what we decided because it's a little bit of a more complicated situation. But the reason I'm sharing it is because it came from, I can't say the Mitzad Ha'achva, that's too strong, but there was a real sense of, this is a person that I care about. This is a person that knows me. You know, he sees you in all seasons. You know, he knew where we were up to in Daf Yomi, because that's what I was doing in those days, Shacharis and then Daf Yomi. You know, and he's always asking me, what am I carrying? And, you know, so he'd say, oh, it's a different one this time. I said, yeah, we finished, right? So it looked a little bit different. This is bigger than the other one. It's longer. It's a real expression of a relationship. So the Rambam and the Ramban put their finger on that issue. There's a relationship that this act reflects. It's a din in Mamonos, but it transcends Mamonos. It gets to the place of the relationship. Ben Sion, you were waiting, and then Rami. Okay. Rami, go ahead. In actual Obed Kochadu Mazalos. Yeah, that's why I was careful to say this was... I mean, Umos Hagduros Bedas, he was
right,
not...
So, in Rebbe's situation,
yeah.
Wouldn't Rambam, in a sense, beat around the bush? Because we don't really have that issue.
Well, I didn't... But that was kind of... some part of the complexity was the status of the you know, individual involved. But, say, according to many Rishonim, he would not, you know, meet the standard of an Obed Kochadu Mazalos. Okay, so now let's get into the Rambam. We saw the Rambam on Hagasa, or if you will, Lahatzir Lo. So let's take a look at the Rambam in the context of Ribbis and try to make a point and now integrate the Ravid in terms of his perspective. Okay. Ilan? Ilan A?
Yeah, where should I start?
Say Hishetzivanu.
Okay.
Yeah. So the couple of things that stand out to me at the Rambam's presentation. So obviously it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Ramban would disagree. Levake shribis min ha'oved gilulim va'az nil velo. Any thoughts about that line? Shetzivano levake shribis min ha'oved gilulim va'az nil velo.
We shouldn't be seeking out a loan to give him. The main reason to give him a loan is specifically to take
care of his... The Ramban makes it sound as if that there's like an independent value of bakashas ribis. Even though you can't, in the context of a transaction, somebody asks you for a loan, you'd probably say, okay, but these are the terms of the loan. It's a 12-month loan at 6% interest or whatever it is. You know, it's a 24-month loan at 8% interest. The Rambam inverts ribis and the loan. Shishitzivanu levakesh ribis, you know, ovet gululim va'az nilvelo. Right. In other words, like I'm dramatizing this a little bit, but imagine a scenario where somebody said, "Okay, so I'll give you a 12-month loan, but there's going to be a 6% interest." Right? With the Rambam, you get the impression that you're supposed to be makdim the ribis, and it's compounded, huh? Va'az nilvelo ad shelo nawilehu velo na'azor lo. V'afilu be'inyan shenana imo. Kimo, that same kimo appears in the Rambam. Shehuzharnu me'asos kach b'Yisrael. And the whole point of this is that alone, as we just described, is one of the most important ways you could ever help somebody. So the Rambam says the whole institution of halva la'akum presents us with a great risk. So we have to do so in a manner that's absolutely clear that we're really not helping him. Ad shelo noyilehu velo na'azor lo. Afilu be'inyan shena na'imo. Even though, of course, right, there would be some hana in both directions, that people come to these agreements all the time, right? That's why they're coming to these mutually agreed upon transactions. But the Rambam wants to make sure that none of this can be presented as, you know, something that's of great benefit, you know, to the Oved Gilulim involved. Okay, now, this is, once again, the Oved Gilulim. Now, in Malveh Veloveh, Hey Aleph, right, again, we started with Perek Aleph, with Hagasa. Now, four chapters later exactly, the Rambam takes up the issue in the Yad. Okay, so Ilan, go ahead. Ha'akum. Okay, so we're going to get internally to the Rambam in a second. You can see how much there is to talk about here. But let's just put the Ravid onto the record, align the Ravid properly amongst the spectrum of Shitos, and then circle back to the Rambam. Okay, so Ilan, go ahead with the Ravid. A mitzvah sase lahashich, v'zeo din Torah. I'm not familiar with this. Okay. Like the Ramban? Well, in a certain, locally, like the Ramban.
Like Rashi also.
Like Rashi. It's a little harder to tell. It's a little more subtle, but how do we know that from the from the Ravid?
I mean, we have the Ravid at Lavi, so I'd say by omission.
Ben Sion, you know how to learn. The Ravid was masig in one place, and it'd be awfully strange if he waited until Perek Hay. He's got something. You can't say, "Oh, me the Perek Hay Nishma the Perek Aleph." Right, the Ravid can't expect you, you know, in Perek Aleph, you know. Be one thing if it would be interesting to say, okay, if he was Masik in Perek Aleph, could you just, you know, Ilan, could you just say that like he holds like the Ramban? And okay, you know, say so he said it in one place. He had a lot to do. This was only a book review that he was writing on the side, you know, of the Rambam, so he wasn't gonna, you know, make the point twice. But it's obvious. He skips over the first opportunity, Hagasa. He only registers in Ribbis. So it would appear that, like Rashi, the Ravid takes no issue and in fact agrees to the Rambam's position by Hagasa. By Ribbis, he says, oh, I'm not familiar with this tradition that the Rambam is quoting. You know, maybe he was confused. He was, you know, when the Sifrei said Zo Mitzvah Sase, it's almost a little bit sardonic because he clearly knew what the Rambam was saying based on Perek Aleph, but the Ravid is laying down his position exactly in line with Shitas Rashi, right? Which, by the way, just reaffirms my conviction that the Ramban overread Rashi. The Ravid and Rashi thought about this exactly the same way. They thought there was a world of difference between Neshech and Hagasa. And that when it comes to Hagasa, Zo Mitzvah Saseh, and when it comes to Lenachri Tashich, right, there is discretion involved. Okay, so I think we can align the Ravid and Rashi in between the Rambam and the Ramban. That I think is clear. What about the Rambam himself? I mean, this is how we got here. Ger Toshav. So Ilan, if you don't mind, just let's now read the Rambam again with an eye towards Ger Toshav. See what the Rambam did and discuss. We obviously have to put this in the context of Zechiyah U'Matana, We have to put this in the context of Avodah Zarah, Shemitah and Yovel, Melachim, right? This is the last piece of the puzzle. Okay, go ahead, Ilan, and I think Rami wants to jump in. So, Akum v'ger toshav.
So unlike the Meir Yitam, the Rambam says that the Ger Toshav isn't Bichlal Achva, but he's going to go on to say that he's closed different than the Akum.
So that formulation itself, you have to be a little careful. Because there might, you might even say he's Bichlal Achva, but
not Achva.
That Ribbis might be a bridge too far.
No question.
But the point is, sometimes we do apply ger v'toshav achayimach. So we have to figure out achicha le'inyan X, not achicha le'inyan Y. Okay, so there's no question that the Rambam darshins is from achicha, but in the context of ribbis. So is this a din klali or din prati? I would be very, very careful about that. Right? Now the Rambam himself, I have to admit, was uncertain of the status of the Ger Toshav. Unlike the Ramban, who was absolutely convinced, Ger V'Toshav HaChayimach, it was in the Sheikh Chasa Essin. What expression did we note? The Rambam uses time and time again. Yeroh Ali. It's always, I think that we would treat him with Gemilas Chasadim Ki Yisrael. What's that?
So, I think I mentioned this before. Rabbi Alice said, Yeroh Ali, doesn't mean I'm not sure. It just means that, like, I don't have a source for this, but I'm 100% certain, but I don't have a source.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying that Rabbi Adler doesn't think so, but Yeroh Ali means the Rambam can see the other side. The Rambam can see the other. The Rambam wasn't afraid to say things misvara. What was the evidence for that? That Yeroh Ali means that he's absolutely certain.
I shouldn't say absolutely certain, but Where my other stress was, I have no source for this. But like, rather than stressing that I concede to another side, like, it could be both, but that's not what
I mean. I mean, look, you know. So this is just, you know, Mechanta Shel Torah, but I think Yeroh Ali means Yeroh Ali. It means that it seems that this is correct to me. It's my opinion. But I hear that it's not dispositive. I don't think it's just a question of sourcing. I think it's a question of sorry, I was a little out of line before. But I think it's that this is the way that it appears to me. I think that it's clear from the Rambam that there are plenty of times that he says something misvaras atzmo with total conviction and doesn't say Yeroh Ali. Yeroh Ali, that's shot in the Rambam, Yeroh Ali. Okay, but so Ilan, it strikes me, as I was saying, it strikes me that this is a din prati. The Rambam was comfortable with the idea of extending achva rights to a ger toshav in other areas. For example, reliance considerations. Right, that you're always going to give in the predictability. You would never treat a ger toshav like an akum in terms of, you know, changing the choice of law on him. Right, Yeroh Ali shenoagim ger toshav b'tzedek u'gmilas chasadim ki Yisrael. Yeroh Ali. But he's not uncertain when it comes to ribbis. No question. But sometimes we're going to pull him over in terms of giving him achva rights. So I'll concede that it's not, you know, the same as the Miri or the Ramban, right? That's definitely true. But I think you still have to ask the question, why is Ribbis the outlier? And I think we know what the answer is, which is for it's the absolute litmus test of achva. Can anybody tie it back to Yovel? The whole chashash of the Rambam, Ein Mekablin Ger Toshav Ela Bizman Sha Yovel Noeg, is what? If we're correct. Shimmy?
Confusion.
Irbuvia. So we're very concerned about confusion. Ribbis is like the ultimate fault line. By the way, you could never be, in terms of the Rambam's definition of Hagasa, it's off the table for a Ger Toshev, to be Meitzer to a Ger Toshev. So the Rambam saw Ribbis as the true Rubicon. That's why I said, even though we don't have a shita like that in the Rishonim, I thought it was really important to explore that svara. Why would we be mechalek in the direction of Ribbis versus Hagasa, opposite Rashi and the Ravid? The Rambam seems, I mean, he comes up with the same psak, but here, Ger Toshav proves that there is a difference between Hagasa and Ribbis. You could never be Meitzer a Ger Toshav. Ger v'toshav, a chayimach. It's just inconceivable. But Ribbis, you know, that you have to wonder about, because that's the ultimate geder achva. So he says l'shar ha'olam mutter. Now again, we know that he doesn't mean that about an obey gilulim. An obey gilulim, it's a mitzvah sasei doraisa l'nachri tashich. So he's referring to the ger toshav. You cannot equate a ger toshav with the Yisrael, but you also cannot equate him with the Akum. And that's the next line. Umitzas ase lahashich la'akum, shenemar l'nachri tashich v'pi hashmu lamdu shezo mitzas ase v'zeu din Torah. So the Ger Toshav isn't the Akum, but he's not Yisrael either. And that expresses itself uniquely in the world of Ribbis.
In addition to the fact that when it comes to Rambam, he inverts Rambam and Ribbis. So when he puts Ger Toshav in the category of Akum in a sense, even though he's not yet there, it doesn't seem like he's front-loading Ribbis in this situation.
That's a nice diuk. And you think that's because of Ger Toshav? I hear. Yeah. Okay, so the Magid Mishnah, you know, after surrendering to the Ramban, you know, in Hagasa. So there's always room for redemption, guys. Keep that in mind. By the time we get to Parakei Hilchos Mavavalova, the Magid Mishnah may have been Chozer B'tshuva. All right, let's see. The chiluk is fascinating. Kasav harav hamagid behasagos. Maybe zo mitzvah saseh actually means zo mitzvah saseh. It's not just Shari, but it's actually Mitzvah Saseh. So what's interesting is that the Magid Mishnah ends up, even though he's sympathetic to the Ramban on the question of Hagasa, he's actually sympathetic to the Rambam. He cites the Ran, he's very close chazer. Sympathetic to the Rambam on the question of Ribbis. Which then establishes a very fascinating point of view. The Magid Mishnah might be that shita that we were searching for. Because he says that when he refers to the Divrei Achronim, the Ramban, by Hagasa, Hiru lo panim, v'cheinir ali ikar. There's no mitzvah saseh min haTorah es hanachri tigos. But l'nachri tashich, zo mitzvah saseh. So the Maggid Mishnah, in fact, draws precisely that distinction. Ribbis has the ultimate Rubicon of Achla. So as far as Ger Toshav is concerned, b'chol adeos, Hagasa is going to be off the table. V'chei achicha imach, the Ramban, you can't even begin to discuss it. It's explicit. For the Rambam, by omission, he never brings up Ger Toshav. It's always Ovid Gilulim, Ovid Gilulim, Ovid Gilulim. You have to be Meitzerlo. That's the Mechayiv of Hagasa. You have to give him a hard time. You're adversarially disposed. And Ger V'Toshav, V'Chayimach, makes that impossibility. The Ger Asher B'Sharecha, Tidena V'Achala, right? It's clear that you can't conduct yourself that way to a Ger Toshav, right? Midi dechiyusa. But when it comes to Ribbis, the Ger Toshav is a player. He's between the Akum and the Yisrael. You don't have to, but you can. And you can, not because of an adversarial relationship. He's either achicha le'inyan dvarim achirim or almost achicha le'dvarim achichim. That's the Yerali. But for Ribbis, we just can't. He's part of Shara Olam as far as that's concerned. It's too much an expression of achva. It's what I call the Yovel problem. If it would be aser, lilvoso beribis, that would basically take him out of his Torah and make him achicha b'Torah v'mitzvos. I mean, that's the one thing we can't do. We can't risk that. We'll give him everything, but we can't risk that confusion about who's part of the Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha. And who's the beneficiary of that Am, and a friend of that Am, and a Toshav amongst that Am, but not part of that Am. That we can't give him. Interest-free loans? That we can't do. So, insofar as the Rambam is mechalik between Hagasa and Ribbis L'inyan Ger Toshav, which is a very subtle point, as Ger Toshav is at least mutter beribis, the Maggid Mishnah takes that then to the next level and says, you know, in the end, I like the Rambam on Ribbis, I like the Rambam on Hagasa. So, Mirza Shem, tomorrow what we'll talk about was already alluded to by the Ramban, the idea of a haftal reyacha samocha. When the Rambam spoke about mitzad ha'achva, the ha'chesed, or the Rambam's term, the chemla, so I want to talk about that as a shir preda. God willing, I think we have both periods tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The third to last, or the two last periods of the day, tomorrow. Okay, good. So we have...
No, we have Kodesh afterwards.
Oh, so it's the... Okay, perfect. Okay, as long as we have two periods, it doesn't really matter when they are. Okay, excellent. All right, so we'll hold it up there. I really...